Everyone certainly loves you. From the staff of Great News Radio to you and your family, we say welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I have a special guest in the studio that I can't wait to introduce you to. But we're glad you're tuned in. And we want to reinforce, or maybe for the first time, let you know that Almighty, Sovereign God of the Universe loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. You've been created with unique talents and abilities, and he wants to work in and through you. But first and foremost, he wants to establish that relationship with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, Amen. God with us. So that is our prayer for you today, and may that be realized no matter where you're at in that faith journey. Some of you maybe are senior saints. Well, let me reinforce that concept that God loves you today, because he really does, and he wants you to finish well. And for those of you that maybe have never entertained the idea that God loves you, he does, and please stay tuned today and throughout the day, maybe throughout the week, because I'm sure you're going to learn about God's love to you through the programs, through the music, through the devotional thoughts. But let me highly recommend getting into God's Word. God's Word is his revealed truth, his love letter to you. It's the manual of all of life. And I think you can learn a lot through just praying that the Holy Spirit would enlighten your mind and heart, and ask God to speak to you through his written word, the inspired word of God. And the person in the studio knows all about the inspired word of God, because he loves to teach it and preach it and share it. And he recommended I start the morning program with a passage out of 1 Timothy, which is a favorite of Jonathan Edwards, and we're going to talk about a book that Robert Davis Smart just recently penned, and it's called Jonathan Edwards, Apologetics for the Great Awakening. So we're going to share a little about why he wrote this book, the power of the Holy Spirit, and some little snapshots from his life, because not only have I had the privilege of walking through the streets and highways and byways of Israel, but we just completed a little nature trail walk, and I want to see, Bob, how those two compare. But let me begin with a reading out of 1 Timothy, beginning at verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Bob, we could kind of just shut down the program for there and dwell and think about and allow that word of God to just saturate our minds and hearts, because we do serve a good God that draws us closer to himself, that he recognizes, and hopefully we all recognize we're sinners, we've fallen short of the mark, that we need a Savior, and he's provided that. He's provided that redemptive work through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that even in Paul's life, in Timothy's life, in all of our lives, he might display his goodness, his mercy, his grace, because we all fall short of the mark. And it's not how good we are. It's not whether we attend church and give to great causes. We can't earn our way into heaven. It's because of the finished, complete work he did Amen. On our behalf, and that free gift that we can receive. So you know about it, but maybe share with our listeners before we talk about your new book, Jonathan Edwards, Apologetic for the Great Awakening. Share a little into your life story, your journey of coming to know Jesus and to be serving him in the Bloomington Normal area as a pastor at Christ Church.
Amen. Mark, thank you. First off, it's a privilege to be here, and how I really relished and enjoyed that trip to Israel. I had a lot of laughter with all those men and a lot of serious moments on the very places in the Old and New Testament where our Lord walked, and it was a remarkable, life-changing time. But I never would have gone on that trip had I not been saved in 1981. I was in a fraternity where a lot of famous quarterbacks came out of at Purdue University, and yet I was lost. And a wonderful man, a student, young man, had a heart to see others come to Christ, and he shared a Bible discussion with me and others on the Gospel of John. It was my senior year.
So you're about 20, 21?
I'm about 21, mm-hmm. and I had no purpose in life and no way to change myself. And though I went to a church, I did not experience the power of regeneration through the Holy Spirit. I did not know how to read the Bible, and I had not put my faith in Christ alone for salvation. And repented of sins. I didn't even have power to repent. If I tried on my own, it would have been just a moralistic effort. And on November 16th, 1981, I was so angry at the friend that shared the gospel with me, angry at God. And I went down to our library and got on our knees. And my first prayer, Mark, was, God, if this is a cult, please save me. The second prayer was, I acknowledge, no, he spoke from the Bible. And it was true. And I needed to repent and put my faith in Christ. And I asked him to fill me with his Spirit. And I asked him, I said, I have no purpose in life. And I prayed, oh God, use me mightily in your kingdom. And that was the beginning of Fast Track. We shared the gospel with 60 guys there in that fraternity. And I ended up desiring to go into missions or full-time vocational service. But it was when I grabbed a little used volume on revival by a man named Jonathan Edwards.
Way back then.
Way back when my first...
Not that you're that old now, because we've been talking about the
M50s. We're both wearing glasses,
yeah,
Mark.
The readers. I had to upgrade my readers this morning. I was like, hey, I need that higher power readers glasses now.
Yeah. So I read a volume called Faithful Narrative and Distinguishing Marks of a True Work of the Spirit, and other writings and sermons by Jonathan Edwards, which changed my life. And I said, looking at the church, big capital C church, I sensed others weren't on fire like I thought they should be. Mm-hmm. And when I read Edwards and all that God did in the Great Awakening, I said, this is what we need today. And that began a journey to seek revival. And what exactly is it? And what happened in the Great Awakening.
Now, at the time, you're in your 20s, and I don't know, growing up, if you valued the Bible or attended church, but suddenly, like you shared, maybe you came to Christ, you asked the Holy Spirit to help enlighten your mind and help you understand these words. Did the Bible not only take on new value, but how did it come alive? Like,
was it
like night and day in those few weeks or months and years?
Oh, it was. I was a nut, and my parents actually thought I was in a cult. So I ended up leading them to the Lord and my oldest
brother.
And
in a cult because you were just so consumed or passionate about...
I was so consumed about Christ. Not a denomination or a parachurch, but about Jesus Christ. And I memorized a verse a day and reviewed those, so I was just loving it. I remember the first snowfall after my conversion, walking on campus, and the snow. And I said, God, you brought the snow today. And I had memorized a verse in Isaiah, you know, as far as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens. It will not return without accomplishing all that you've purposed and all the reasons you sent it. And, of course, it talks about bread to the eater and seed to sower. But I thought, this is God's snow, creation, and the Bible. And I love the Bible, and it changed my life. And anyone could read it, but I hadn't had the person and work of the Holy Spirit and discipleship to really understand how all the pages speak of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I never saw that before.
I know I've shared this over the years on the air, how I as a child learned to always pray before I read God's Word, read the Holy Bible, read the Scriptures, that I was to ask the Holy Spirit to help enlighten my mind, help me apply life lessons and interpret. And so that's just always been a practice. But I have some friends, unsaved friends, periodically will try to read the Bible, but they'll say, Mark, it's kind of dry or I don't understand. And it's like, oh, if you could just take that step of faith and ask the Holy Spirit to help interpret it for you or help guide you through it, it will have a life-changing impact. And some other Christians will sometimes say, well, it's just kind of dry, or they don't seem to place a great value on the scripture readings on a daily basis or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you're just missing out on so much. So you're on fire. And for listeners that are like, what's that mean you're on fire? You were passionate. You were excited. God was revealing truth to you, and so you kind of just launched into, Lord, how can I serve you? Because that then influenced your vocation and working with the navigators and other positions you had with organizations, because you were first and foremost kind of a worker bee for the Lord, whether it was in a secular vocation or in a ministry position.
Yeah, either way, do your work as unto the Lord, for it's the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve. Mm-hmm. Whether you're in any calling has just as much significance. I knew, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. And I went to seminary and been 19 years at Christ Church, navigators before that, and interned during seminary for 3 years at a church. And all I know is we need to spread the gospel. And a lot of what we talked about, Mark, was happening in the 1700s. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Edwards, like you, grew up praying the right prayers, reading the Bible. His father was a preacher, but he was not changed yet. And the passage you read from 1 Timothy was the passage that changed his life. And he was born of the Spirit, and he decided to go into full-time vocational service and became a pastor and so forth. We could talk about all that, but this whole interest for me is born out of our experience that we have in common, that we recognize there are people who know the Bible, who go to churches, but they don't have delight and they aren't on fire. And so there is a need for revival, not a crazy thing, which we could talk about through the book here, that Edwards is the theologian on revival, but the need for the Holy Spirit to work by and with the Bible to draw us passionately into worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a very biblical, experiential way, not some weird fanatical way, which Edwards has a forte in defending revivals, because there were fanaticals at that time.
Well, Bob, before we get into some more of the specifics of why you wrote the book, I don't think I've formally introduced you other than saying a good friend that was on a trip to Israel with me, but you and Karen, you live in the Bloomington Normal area. I know in your book you're listed as having 5 children and 3 grandchildren, but you had 8 names, and I was trying to figure out, I wonder if he's raising his grandkids, but those are your son and daughter-in-laws.
Correct, Mark. 2 daughters-in-law and 1 son-in-law who become like daughters and a son.
Well, that's very sweet, because you acknowledge them in your book. And did you get your PhD? Are you Dr. Robert Davis Smart?
I am, and I go by Bob. And
you know, nowhere in this book does that reference the doctor, and I was thinking, you know, I'm looking just at the back 20 or so pages, the bibliography is just, I thought, this is a masterpiece, and all the work that went into it, your primary sources, your secondary sources, and then pages of the subject index, and just all the footnotes, and I'm like, this is a work of art. I mean, this is a very thorough overview of not only Jonathan Edwards' life, but the apologetics behind the Great Awakening and some of the things that were going on, and those that kind of contested this is not a work of the Holy Spirit, and kind of the liberal mindset. And you have a number of acclaimed and noted people that have highlighted and recommended this book, from the University of Notre Dame, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, Bob was on that trip with me to Israel, and I know he's bright and sharp and loves God's word, but did he have his doctorate? So how did that all come into being? Because this is a masterpiece, this book. Yeah. It's called Jonathan Edwards, Apologetic for the Great Awakening by Robert Davis Smart, and you can purchase this at Amazon or any reputable Christian bookstore. They should have it on their bookshelf. That's what I think.
Mark, thank you. What you learned, I got a PhD because I knew I was burdened for revival, and I needed to study the theologian of revival, Jonathan Edwards. And this place I went to is a seminary in Wales. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, from a previous century, influenced the leaders of the seminary and promoted Jonathan Edwards, and a publisher called The Banner of Truth. So I went there, and under the University of Wales, pursued a PhD. And of course, what you learn from a PhD is how much you don't know. So it actually leads to humility. It should for anyone that has it. But this is somewhat more scholastic. In the future, I want to write more in a warm-hearted way mm-hmm. for and on the subject of revival.
Yeah, I know you're giving away copies to the Urbana Theological Seminary, some of the graduating students. You're an adjunct professor there. You're the lead pastor at Christ Church in the Normal, Bloomington Normal area, located in Normal, Illinois, you know, married to Karen. I was starting to introduce you, and then I got so caught up in this book. You have the five children with the three additional
three married
in-laws, and then three grandchildren with a few more on their way.
Yes, sir.
And you've served in the greater Bloomington area for, like you mentioned, I think about 18 years. Mm-hmm. And was it recently that God put it? I know this has recently been published, but what was the catalyst to get you to finally publish this? And then what would be some of the takeaways for maybe some of our listeners that if they purchased a copy of Jonathan Edwards' Apologetic for the Great Awakening, what would be the takeaways
yes.
that you'd hope to gain from
yes.
them reading it and purchasing it?
Well, one, you're going to get a type of Christianity that's outside of our time mm-hmm. that has a higher standard to it. A quality of spirituality. When we read the Puritans or when we go back to this era of the Great Awakenings, just Great Awakening, just after the Puritans, we see a wonderful, wonderful type of spirituality amongst George Whitefield, the Wesley brothers, Jonathan Edwards, and others, the Tenants, and so forth. So you're going to get a wonderful view of spirituality. This is also going to teach contemporary views on revival. Chapter 2 brings up four theological schools. It even has researched sociological schools that are not necessarily believers mm-hmm. who are looking at this wonderful event. And then the historical debates of how to interpret what happened in the Great Awakening, and there's interesting debates there. So it is more scholarly, but it's going to help discern if revival comes again, or how are people viewing revival today different from the time of Jonathan Edwards. So it gives you a contemporary, mm-hmm. it gives you a historical, and a biblical theological approach to revival in all in one book. It's not easy reading, but it is, I think, something that you ought to be aware of. It helps you understand where we are today in America and where you came, your denomination may have come from, and all kinds of things mm-hmm. in terms of the history of America.
On the inside cover, you wrote a note to me dated winter 2012. To Mark and friends at Great News Radio, may the Lord Jesus Christ send us a mighty outpouring of the Spirit in revival when the gospel will burn fire in the hearts of expository preachers.
Yes.
Love, Bob, 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17. What do you mean by that? Because we have a number of preachers that tune in and a number of deacons and elders and those that are influential involved in their churches. What do you hope would accomplish through that intro that you've written for me?
Mm-hmm. Well, the primary means for which revival comes is preaching the gospel mm-hmm. from the Bible.
Dividing God's word.
Dividing mm-hmm. God's word. And the Holy Spirit says, I hear my message about Jesus. And he comes with power. Obviously, prayer is important as well. The difficult word on the title that people might not be familiar with is the word apologetic, which does not mean saying, I'm sorry. It means a defense or giving a reason for the hope we have within us. And so it's found, for example, in 1 Peter 3. So preaching, putting forth a defense for the gospel and what we believe against opposers and against those that want the church to fall asleep and go back to rationalism or a denial of the supernatural. If we don't have a mighty wave of preachers who burn within for God to be glorified through a supernatural manifestation of himself and his presence accompanying the gospels being preached, we won't be able to stem the tide. We're going to become more and more lukewarm. And we're just on the verge, again, of really a downfall.
two things come to mind, listener. Purchase a copy and give it to your pastor, or purchase multiple copies. You read one, give one to your pastor, and then be praying for those that divide God's word on a weekly basis for us, or teach Bible studies, or are in a role where they can share the good news message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray that the Holy Spirit will work in and through your Sunday services, through the Wednesday services, through the prayer gatherings you have at your church. And then first and foremost, in your own life, revival starts with you and I. But I like how Robert Davis Smart, how you, Bob, have put together this book on Jonathan Edwards and the Great Awakening. It's called Jonathan Edwards, Apologetic for the Great Awakening. It can be purchased through Amazon. So you can go online and just type in Robert Davis Smart, and you can learn a little more about him, and type in the book Jonathan Edwards, Apologetic for the Great Awakening. In closing, Bob, what would maybe be a last thought you could leave with us?
I just want to say that there is so much hope for another great awakening. Mm. Not something fanatical one side, or nor do we need to remain in a lukewarm sort of dead condition. One of my favorite quotes by Jonathan Edwards, he says, quote, "God has had it much on his heart from all eternity to glorify his dear and only begotten Son. And there are some special seasons that he appoints to that end, where he comes forth with omnipotent power to fulfill his promise and oath to him. Now, these are the times of remarkable outpouring of his Spirit," end quote. So I just wanted to give hope and say we can pray and we can trust God that he will do amazing things in our generation.
Hmm. Jonathan Edwards, Apologetic for the Great Awakening, penned by Robert Davis Smart, lead pastor at Christ Church in the Bloomington Normal area. So if you're in and around that area, you can check in and find out more about his church service. What's a phone number to call for your church?
309-452-7927. 309-452-7927.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Thank you, Robert Davis Smart. I know you as Brother Bob, or a good friend.
Thank you, Mark,
for being a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hugs to Karen and all those kids and grandkids. And thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.